It's good to see this number out. In case if you haven't seen John Revis, he's here today. Somewhere. Oh, there he is. I see him. It's so good to see John back. He was so close to leaving us here a few months ago, and his recovery has been remarkable. And I don't know if you're like that, but sometimes I pray, and then I'm surprised when God answers that, it seems. And why should we be surprised? So it's good to see John. People in Minnesota leave Minnesota in January. People in Arizona leave Arizona in the summertime. And so our number's quite down, but we still got a good number this morning. We have people in China. We have people in the Caribbean. We have people going to Hawaii in the morning. We have people everywhere. Pray for their safety. We have people in Florida. But we're glad you're here. As Kevin read a little bit earlier, we worry about many things. Sometimes I'm the leader of that parade. We're pessimistic at times, aren't we? I'm glad my kids are not here today, because you would hear them say amen about their dad. We can be pessimistic. And there are some who worry and fret more than others. And as Chad and I were talking a little bit earlier, look out amongst us and see who needs our encouragement. Because some are going through tough times right now and don't always handle discouragement and worry maybe as well as some others. See what we can do to help them. We worry about Iran getting nuclear weapons. We worry about the war in Syria. We worry about the war on terror. We worry about are the D-backs going to win this afternoon? We worry, worry, worry. We're worried about tomorrow. We're worried about next week. We're worried about yesterday, for crying out loud. I know we can do nothing about that. We worry. We worry. And James said in James chapter 4, what are you worried about? There's nothing you can do about it. We'll see what the Lord said about worry in a little bit when he talks about we can't add any height to our stature. He said, our life is a vapor, appears for a little while and vanishes away. We saw that last week with Brother Ben Stewart, who for 40 years was the prodigal son, who came to his senses, so to speak, like some of us have done at different times in our lives. And the last year of his life, did the best he could. Ben was even carrying on a Bible study the last week or two of his life. We need to think about things like that as we worry sometimes about things that really, in the overall scheme of things, don't really overly matter. Our society sometimes is called the society of anxiety and aspirin. We take pain pills to take our mind off of our issues and our problems. Back as a young man, mine was drinking. I drank every day. And the idea was to take your mind off of, particularly in a war zone, you try to take your mind off of where you are. And you know what happened in the morning when I woke up? I still had the same problems, plus I had a headache. So that's really not the answer. It's really not. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you're worried about will be added to you. We'll look at those in a second. He said, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We have enough trouble today to take care of today. Number one, we may not see tomorrow. That day's coming for all of us. We may not see tomorrow. And I think, before I get to that, pessimism, which here again, as Ken used to say, I'm talking to me now. If you want to listen and follow along, that's fine. I am guilty of this at times. You can ask my wife. It's never the route to happiness. You'll never be happy being pessimistic. It'll never happen. Ever. Now, in the early 1900s, Henry Ford went to a banker and said, I'm thinking about starting me a car company. A what? An automobile company. Got a four wheels, got a motor tied onto it. And the banker said, pessimistic, that'll never happen. The horse is here to stay. Really? The global warming people. The glaciers are melting. Ooh. Who made the glaciers? Who can freeze them back when he chooses? It's getting hotter and hotter. Let me give you a news flash. The earth's going to get really hot one of these days. That's what we ought to be worried about. Not global warming. Now, I'm all for taking care of the planet. I'm not saying that. We should. We should be good stewards of our planet. I'm not saying that. But one day, this old planet's going to get hot quick. And it's all going to burn up. Now you got something to worry about. But it's too late. There's a tombstone back. You've probably seen this before. That says, it literally does, said, see, I told you I was sick. That's pessimism. So sometimes we worry ourselves till we're sick. Don't be so pessimistic. It's going to be all right. The Mayo Clinic, of course, right over here in Scottsdale, world-renowned Mayo Clinic, of course, Minnesota as well. In 2002, this is documented, they came up with this. People who only see the darker side of life do not live as long as those with a more optimistic view. You think? Guess who came up with that first? In Proverbs 17, verse 22, this is what God said, who made us, by the way, as we all know. A merry heart does good like medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. God said, don't be so pessimistic, Mitch. Cheer up, dude. Cheer up. Because it'll kill your health if you keep going the way you go. A merry heart is good for good medicine. The Lord himself called it a medicine. So that's what we need to do. It's what we need to think about. Proverbs 17. Matthew 6. We'll talk about priorities here in a second. Jesus said, you know what, we're all worried. Can you add 1 inch, and you can fill in your name here, Mitch, can you add 1 inch to your height by all this worrying that you do? It's a rhetorical. Just a little bit of sarcasm. Answer, no, you can't. And we're worried about what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? What are we going to fill in the blank? And the Lord said, there's nothing you can do about that either. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, be content with such things as you have. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy that godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul said, I've had a lot and I've been happy. I've had very little, been in prison. I'm still happy. We're going to start the book of Philippians here soon. It's all about joy. Paul's in prison at the time of that writing. Be content with what you have. Remember, in the Old Testament, in Proverbs, it says, Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. Poverty that I break in and steal. riches that I forget where they came from. Give me enough. And that's what we need to pray for, enough. Nothing wrong about being aggressive in your job. Nothing wrong about getting a promotion. Nothing wrong with those things. He's just saying, be content with what you have. God says, I take care of the birds, don't I? And I help him out with my quail in the backyard. And my neighbors don't like that because they make a mess. But God says, I feed the birds. Do you see birds working? Do they go to work? Do they clock in every day? He says the flowers of the field. So they're not even arrayed like Solomon in all of his riches. Guess who takes care of that? Did you plant them? Did you create the flowers? He says, I'll take care of the flowers. I'll take care of how tall you are. Do your legs reach the ground? That's what I used to tell Austin. Dad, I'm going to be short. Do your legs reach the ground? You're tall enough. It's okay. God takes care of all of that. He says, don't worry about that kind of stuff. Nothing you can do about it anyway. And most fears never come to pass. You notice that? Things that you worry about, things that I worry about. Do you remember what you worried about 5 years ago? No. Do you remember what you worried about 2 years ago? No. Last year? Do you remember what you worried about last month? I don't. Did it matter? No, it didn't. They're not going to come to pass, most of them anyway. A poet said this. This will be something Ben was very good on the stage. It's something he would appreciate. A coward dies 1,000 deaths. A brave man dies but once. That's so true. That's so true. In 2 Kings 6, I love this picture. 2 Kings 6, 13 through 18, Elijah's gone now. Elisha's in charge of the prophets. And Ben-Hadad, been saying about him, is the king in Syria. Ben-Hadad talks to his chief officers and he says, we're going to go camp over here. And the king of Syria finds out that they're going to go camp over there through the prophets. And Ben-Hadad says, I got a spy in my camp here. Remember that? I got a spy. Every time I say I'm going to do something, Israel finds out about it. Who's the spy? And they said, we have no spies here. There's a prophet named Elisha in the Israelite camp. And he says, fine, saddle up. We're going to go get that person. And they surround, they march all night, they surround Dothan, where the prophets were. And Elisha's servant gets up in the morning, and he looks up and he says, we got big trouble now. Surrounding the on the mountains were all the Syrians, and you've got these prophets here. We're in bad shape. And he says, Elisha, what are we going to do? And you know what Elisha said? He said, and I love this. He said to God, open their eyes. And God opened their eyes, the prophet's eyes. Surrounding the surrounders were chariots of fire and all of God's legions of support. And Elisha said, do not fear. And this, you can write to put an exclamation point and put it right here in your mind. Do not fear, for those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Is that applicable today? Oh, yes, absolutely. They're invisible. They're there. They're there. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. True then, true today. This world's not our home. And my good friend and brother Theophilus in Sierra Leone, Africa, one afternoon while we're waiting for the night crowd to come in for our classes, I was sitting there and I was lamenting, pessimist, Mitch, to Theophilus that, you know, I feel so badly that this country is such a disaster. Open sewers, violence. It's the poorest country on the planet, as we talked about. And he said, Mitch, brother, Mitch, let me tell you something. We know our life's never going to get better physically, ever. We know that going in. It's too much of a disaster. It'll never get better physically. But he said, this ain't our home. This is not our home. We are laying it all on the line for the Lord because we're hoping someday, and we know that someday our lives are going to get better spiritually. That's the way we have to think. We are spoiled. I use that word. I think it's a good word. We're spoiled in the country that we live in with all that we have. And in Africa, they've got nothing. But they're some of the happiest religious people that I've ever been around. Theophilus. Now, Veronica loves this one because sometimes she'll get all in a fizz and I'll say, Martha, Martha, you worried about many things. I haven't said that lately. It doesn't go real well. In Luke 10, verse 41, Jesus has been out and he needs a little respite. He needs a little rest. And he goes into Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. Mary had demons. He cast out. Lazarus was dead and he raised. He said he loved this family. He loved them. And he comes in and like many of us, oh, I hope he doesn't see the dust on the coffee table. Oh, boy. And Martha's busy, 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 worried about what are we going to eat, well, you know, all these things. And Mary's sitting at the Lord's feet. And Martha, like I would have done, Lord, tell her to come help me. I got work to do here. And he said, Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things. The dust will be there tomorrow. He didn't say that. But said, Mary has chosen the good things, and I'm not going to take it away from her. Deal with it, Martha. Deal with it. And I think we have to keep everything in perspective. Now, priorities. Now, all that's good. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? Priorities. Priorities is to set in rank order what's important. We do that at work. We always did that at work. What are our goals? What are our priorities? Well, we need to do that in our lives. Priority, Bible study. Now, I've had people say, and you so have you, I don't know how to study the Bible. How do you study the Bible? I read it. Reading's good. Start with that. Read it every day. We're getting ready to start the book of Philippians. Everybody should order, my opinion, order a good, reliable commentary on the book of Philippians right away. And then when we go to the next book, order another commentary. It's going to be expensive. Not really, but what maybe a few cups of Starbucks might be. Get you a Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. You need that. What did the word mean in the first century? You need a Baker's Bible Atlas so you can see what the geography was. And there are others like that. You need a Strong's Concordance of all the New Testament words. Every time a word's used, and you can also get a workout. It's so big. Get one of those. Get books on the Restoration Movement. Get books on and on and on. That's how you study the Bible. Lay them out on your desk. Roll up your sleeves. Get you a glass of iced tea because you're going to be there a while. And study for hours at a time. That's what you have to do. You're never going to be a good Bible student just by reading the Word. And that's important. Bible study has to be a priority. That sounds expensive. Not really. But maybe you don't do something. Maybe you don't go to a D-backs game and you buy three commentaries. Whatever. Bible study has to be a priority. Bible study at first is a little bit of a chore. Bible study eventually becomes fun. It does. to uncover another nugget. I didn't know that. That's awesome. Bible study. Work. We talked about that already. Won't hit that again. Be careful with our work. I don't have time for this because my work is taking me. I know that. I've been there as well. And it can do that. You have to be careful with that. Hospitality. And when you look in your expository dictionary and you look up the word hospitality, immediately following it says the word pursue. In the original, it had the connotation of pursuing hospitality. Now wait, pursue. Did you have any trouble pursuing your girlfriend, the one that later became your wife? Did someone have to explain that to you? You came home from work tired or school tired. You cleaned up, and where did you go? You pursued that woman. Didn't have any trouble understanding that. When we got out of class, went straight to your girlfriend. Sometimes she pursued you, but so what? It can work both ways. We understand the word pursue, not hospitality. You're getting personal now. I'm just telling you what the word meant in the New Testament. It says pursue hospitality. Don't worry about the dust, pursue it. And I'll tell you, caveat, our 30 to 40 crowd here are the best I've ever seen about pursuing hospitality. And they're to be commended for that. They do a great job. Us old folks like me, we got to do a better job in that. That's a priority. Have time to do everything else. I can have some, pursue hospitality. Entertainment. Be careful with that. We all got to be entertained, don't we? You try keeping grandkids for a while. What are we going to do now? We got to do this. Got to do that. Dude, I'm worn out. Entertainment. We have to be entertained. That's the society we live in. And if we're not being entertained, must be something wrong with me. Really? Put it in its proper context. Opportunities for sharing the gospel. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. I've heard of people who take business cards, church cards, and get when they pay their bill at the restaurant. I've heard of, like Ben talking about, John, when I saw John a couple weeks ago at the, guess what? He was figuring out a way to have a Bible study with the people in the rehab center. There are opportunities. Look for them. I don't know. I'm a little shy. You'll get over it. Attendance. I knew that one was coming. Attendance. Shepherds in Bible times were responsible for two things. Protect the flock from predators. Give the opportunity for feeding. You're not going to force feed sheep, ever. But you got to give them the opportunity, and you got to make sure wolves don't come into the flock. God didn't use that when he talked about elders today by accident. What are our obligations? Protect the flock from predators, and we do that. Two, provide opportunities for feeding. Now, if we say, in our judgment, that we're going to meet at least three times a week for feeding, the crowd will be about half tonight what we got now. Is 60 minutes that important? Are you that tired? Attendance is important. It is. And we need to be here. And if you're having a debate in your household, every time a service comes up, well, we're going tonight. You need not have that debate. In our household, that never came up. It never was a debate. Doors open, we'll be there. Well, the kids are tired. We've got a test tomorrow. They'll be fine. It's not fatal. Well, I'm pretty tired. I know. So am I. But you can be here. Someday, we're going to have to give an account for that. You're certainly not fooling yourself. You're not even fooling the brethren for very long, honestly. And you're certainly not going to fool God. Now, are you going to work sometimes on Wednesday night? Yes, you are. So did I. Are you going to be out of town sometimes? Yes, you are. We know that. God knows that. But we have to set our priorities. It's important. Our soul's at stake, honestly. Our soul's at stake. Lessons for us and lessons yours. It's difficult not to worry. It's easy for me. Oh, let's don't worry. Don't worry, be happy, like the old song used to go. That sounds quaint. We all worry. It's difficult not to worry. Trust me, I'm not standing up here lecturing down to you. I'm guilty of this. It's difficult not to worry. Most worries don't materialize. We talked about that. We have to prioritize. We have to arrange what's important in our lives. And if you can look at people's lives and see what's important to them. And everybody sees that. Your children see that. You're not even fooling your children sometimes. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Never forget that. You remember what Jesus said? He said, I can call down 10,000 angels to defend me right now. They're there. We just don't see them. In the book of Revelation, he says, I have an angel over every church that takes care of. To the angel of the church at Ephesus I write, and so on. Does he still do that today? I suspect he does. He'll take care of us. Life is short. Talked about that. It appears for a little time. Judgment is coming. I expect the Lord back any day. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, it says that the Lord's going to come back like a thief in the night. And Jesus said, when things are going really well, that's what concerns me. When things are going really well, you better be concerned. He said, that's when I'm coming back. And it's going to catch you. It's going to catch you unawares. There'll be two of you working together. One of you will make it, one of you won't. That's what he says in Matthew 24. Judgment's coming. It's going to get loud that day. Trumpets are going to be blaring. There'll be a loud shout by the Lord himself. We're not going to wonder, what was that? What was that? I got soccer practice tomorrow. It's canceled. Somebody said, judgment is truth learned too late. Everybody's going to learn the truth. Some too late. In fact, most too late, according to Matthew 7. Pray every day. I used to hear Ken, I've heard other preachers say this. I really believe this. As elders, we see this. Almost every time, I've never known an exception, or maybe there was, where someone came to an elder, to a preacher, to whatever, and said, my wife and I are having troubles. I'm having troubles at work. Trouble. And Ken used to say, the first question I ask him is, how's your prayer life? Not good. Every single time. People quit praying. Or they don't pray like they should. If you're having troubles in your life, are you praying like you need to pray? I doubt it. Pray every day. God knows what we need. Fathers know what their children need. But we still like to hear them ask. And we still like to hear the word thank you, don't we? So does God. Study your Bible every day. We touched on that. And notice this one. I think I maybe have one more. This might be it. Then we're done. Romans 12 and verse 18. I like this verse. If it's possible. The implication is it's not always possible. But if it's possible. As much as depends on you. As much as depends on me. Live peaceably with all men. We all have neighbors where that's hard to do. But as much as depends on you. Stop fussing and fighting. If they want to fuss and fight, that's them. And if it's not possible, do the best you can do. But it says, learn to lead a quiet and peaceable life. You live a lot longer. You feel a lot better instead of being in the middle of every fuss and fight, whether it's at work or school or whatever. Not always easy to do, not always possible to do. But as much as depends on you and me, let's do that, God says. Okay, here's the last one. I was talking to somebody here just the last week or two, and I really believe this. If life didn't have its troubles, why would we want to leave here? I suspect God gives us our troubles so that we keep our eye focused on the other side. Because if life's nothing but a bed of roses and we never have any issues, heaven, why would I want to go there? So think of it like that. There are challenges. We all got problems. We all got troubles. We all got worries. But that, it's just like Theophilus said, my life's never going to get a lot better physically, but I got my eye focused on the other side. If you're not a Christian, you certainly can be one this morning. If you are a Christian, but maybe you've, like I've been in my life, fallen away, lost focus, worried about everything under the sun but what I should have, wasn't studying, wasn't praying, drinking heavy, all those things, you can straighten your life up. And you can do it today. That's the beauty of it. You can come forward, repent. We'll pray with you and we'll pray for you that you can be focused and start back on the road. Because just like our good brother Ben, you may not have a year. I may not have a year. Don't know. We don't know those things. We got today. That's all you're promised is today. So if you'd like to do that, either one of those things, be baptized for remission of your sins, square your life away, you can do that as Trevor leads us in our closing song.